Blog Talk Radio.
Around me, there's some attacks on my mind, on my body.
body, in ministry, on my job, Father. So I got to get closer to you. See, because they're trying to take my focus from you, God. And since they're trying to take my focus from you, God, it's trying to bring a separation in the middle of my relationship with you. But the devil is a lie. Father, today, right now, today, Father, I just want to be closer to you. Oh, somebody shout glory around me. Oh, Heavenly Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, as we come before you, God, we just want to draw closer to you, God. On our bended knees and our open minds and open hearts, Father, we ask you to blot out all our iniquity. Father, you say that our mercies was new in the morning. It's a new day. So that new mercy, and you have consumed them with your compassion, meaning that you have given us a new love, Father. Then you end it. You say, greater is thy faith in it, meaning that you have more faith in us to get it right than we have in ourselves. So right now, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, today, we just want to draw closer to you, God. Have your way, God. Oh, God, it's a many prayer requests that come through online to us, Father, through this ministry. We sit there on our bended knees and our open minds, our open heart. Father, we ask you right now to heal them. Deliver them, Father. Whatever the circumstances, whatever the request was, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we ask you to send a fresh anointing down on them. Strengthen them. Whatever is in your will for us, Father, we ask you to do it. Oh, we walk by faith, not by sight. Oh, God, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, have your way. Oh, bless leadership, Father. Deal with leadership throughout this world. They need to be held accountable and responsible for the things that the prayer that they have petitioned you to get those offices and those jobs. Right now, God, we ask you right now, remind them of the prayers that they asked for to get their position and you granted them. Oh, God, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, breathe on us right now. Strengthen us and guide us. Father, we're in the year of deliverance. So, Father, right now, oh, in Jesus' holy name, oh, my name, I see now. Do it, God, right now. Oh, Father, as I decrease, you increase. Have your way here, Holy Ghost. And it is so that this is the day you made, so Zion will rejoice. Oh, in Jesus' holy name, this is our prayer. Amen. I don't know about you all. I'm going to be honest. But I feel a little churchy. And the songs that said, I just want to be close to God. Today, those of you have your Bibles, your iPads, your pencil and paper. We're in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. We're going to deal with in our series that we are dealing with in the next few lessons that we want you to make sure that you tune in for. It's waiting on the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we get a hurry of ourselves and we want to get ahead of the Lord. So I got to talk to somebody here today. See, we want to do all these things. We feel, right, since we've been called out of darkness, we can get ahead of the Lord. But let me be mindful before I get too far in this here. Any prayer request that you have, you can go online to www.uptopministries.org, or you can go to our Facebook page, Uptop Group Christian Ministry, and you can inbox us and send in any request that you have for ministry engagement and all that. You can deal with us right there. And anything that God has placed on your heart to do for the ministry, you can do it also. Just send it in. We allow everybody to do what God said. We do not pray on God's people. We do not ask you to do nothing that God has not asked you to do. All we're here to do is share the word of God with you. We're in the soul winning business. All the other stuff don't matter to me. Whatever God has for me, it is for me. Good God. I got to have somebody that don't mind about sharing that with me now. Waiting on the Holy Spirit is the series that we're coming in. We're going to be teaching on here. Our topic today, you need the power. Oh, good God of mine. I'm going to step on a lot of toes, so just stay out. Some of you all may not agree with what I'm saying, but that's okay. We're teachable here. We don't have no big I, no big me, no big myself in ministry here. One of the fascinating things that we find out in the book of Acts in the first chapter 1 through 5 is that Jesus, he gives some instructions to his apostles at this time. That many times that when you have been brought out of darkness, I gotta build this right. I gotta get the language straight on here because I know I got some educators here, some good Bible scholars. So let me get the language straight here. Many times that we have been in darkness, God has called and pulled us out of the darkness we was in. A lot of us have picked up our cross and pressed forward to the mark of the high calling. So we understand that that's going to be some shortcoming, some persecution, some affliction, some long suffering, some backbiting, some lies, some cheating, some people just mistreating you. We understand this. There are some of us that picked up the cross. That thought that it was that's what we supposed to do. We picked up the cross. We understand that that was going to be some confrontation that comes with the cross. We thought it was good to be a man and woman of God. So we go out and we preach and teach. We sing. But there's no anointing. Good God Almighty. In what we are doing, you need the power to be able to do the work of God. That's a lot of men and women, God, today. I know you ain't going to like what I'm about to say. They're sitting there in the pulpit. Oh, yeah. Can preach so profound, teach so profound, so eloquent with their speaking. But there's no power in the word. No power. See, because they didn't wait on the Holy Ghost. They said, God called me to be an evangelist, a prophet, apostle, bishop, a pastor, minister, an elder. God called me to be these things. God called me to be the singer, the worship boy, the deacon. God called me. But when God calls you, that's a period of time that you must learn and wait now on the Holy Ghost. Good God of mine. You got to understand something here. As we get into this text, Jesus had a ministry that was full of the anointing. His disciples, as long as they was with Jesus, they was anointed. But the minute they got outside of Jesus, they ran into a problem, according to what? Mark, the 9th chapter, verses 16 through 25. They ran into a problem that they couldn't cast the spirit, the dumb spirit out of the boy. And everybody looked at them and questioned them. And Jesus, good God of mine, somebody saw Jesus. See, there's power in the name of Jesus. Came and asked them to bring the lad to him. And he dealt with the father. I'm going somewhere with this. You all pay attention. I'm going somewhere. I'm coming back to Acts 1:1-5. Jesus told him to bring the lad here. He brought the lad to him. The father of the lad said to the Lord, he said, if thou can what? Can what? Can do this for me and my son. I'm paraphrasing this, right? He said, if thou can do. If I can't do it, good God Almighty, do anything, he said, have compassion on us and help. He said, in other words, he asked him, Jesus, this is the first time that you hear Jesus say, use the word if. Jesus paraphrased the if off him so he can understand. He said, if I can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. In other words, he was like, if you don't get the demon out, can you just show us some love and help us, Lord? Good God Almighty. Jesus turned around and told the man, he said, if thou can believe, good God Almighty, that all things are possible to him that believes, good God Almighty. Then the Father turned around and did something that we need to do as men and women of God. I feel like preaching here. I'm supposed to be teaching. Y'all bear with me. I'm a little excited today. The Father and the child both cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Good God Almighty. Help my thy unbelief. Oh, good God Almighty. See, one of the biggest problems with men and women of God preaching and teaching today that has not been filled with the Holy Ghost, they don't believe. You got a lot of different sets out here. I'm sorry. Did I get that engagement? Well, that's okay with me. Got a lot of different sets. But you need the power to cast out demons. You need the power to lay hands on the sick. You need the power to mend the breaking heart. You need the power to raise the dead spirit. Oh, why would you say that, Lord? Why would you say that, brother preacher? Well, go back to the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. And the Lord, for those who don't believe, the Lord asked Ezekiel, would them dry bones live? Oh, good God Almighty. I'm going somewhere with this, y'all. Just pay attention to this. He said, would those dry bones live? Ezekiel, I paraphrase this now. Look at it. Get the language straight so you all won't say Elder Tony saying anything online. Ezekiel looked at the situation. Good God. He sized this situation up like we do most of the time. When it's time for us to lay hands on something, we know we ain't got the power. But Ezekiel realized one thing, right? That guess who is with him? God Almighty. Guess who is with him? He is in the midst at this time of the Spirit of the Lord. Good God Almighty. And since he's in the midst of the Spirit of the Lord, he has the power to prophesy now. The Lord said, Ezekiel said, Lord, you know, you knows everything. Then God turns around and tells Ezekiel, Ezekiel, son of man, prophesy to them. I will speak to them. Speak to your dead situation. See, you can't speak to your dead situation and expect something to change if you don't have no power. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you cannot speak to no dead situation and ask for it to change. See, every time Ezekiel breathed, since he was in the midst of God, he was breathing in the Spirit of God. So when God asked for him to speak to the dead situation, he was full of the anointing. I don't want to have church with me right now. So here you go, right? I say that to say, when we get to the book of Acts, when we get in Acts, we deal with here. Here we is with a situation. Oh, good God Almighty. We say, bro, preacher, that ain't in Acts. That ain't the situation they deal with for. Well, guess what? They can't deal with nothing until they get some power. We all try to step out without any power. See, we want to prophesy and speak to people and tell them, thus say the Lord, but we don't have no power. And most people, after we got to prophesy and they don't see the things come to true pass, they call you a false prophet or a false teacher. The reason why they say that is because you have not been indulged in the Holy Ghost. I heard men and women of God from all different walks of life say that only happened once. That's not so. How can you do greater things if you don't have the power? Then I heard that is not so. That was only for the apostle to do. So if that was only for the apostle to do, then I have a big question here. What is we supposed to do if that was only for them? So I beg the difference on the teaching. Because we have an assignment each and every day. And the only way we can carry out the assignment that God has for us, we have to have the Holy Ghost power. We have to have the anointing of God pressing on our lives. The reason why I say this is because when you go to that, you look at verse 2, right? He said, until the day in which he has taken up after that he threw the Holy Ghost has given the commandments unto the apostle who he has chosen, right? listen to this, who he has chosen. If God has chosen you to be the man or woman of God, to be a prophetess, a prophet, an evangelist, a bishop, apostle, a pastor, an elder, a minister, a missionary, a deacon, if God has given you and chose you, he has given you what? The Holy Ghost. You have to receive the Holy Ghost so you can have power. Because there's certain things in your life that you're going to face. There's certain things in people's lives they're going to face. They're going to need you to intercede for them. You praying without no power, it's like going on hit the light switch and no electricity is in there. In order for the light to come on, there has to be some power flowing through the circuit. In order for you to heal the sick and lay hands on people, really broken heart, rise up the dead, you got to have some power going through you. Oh, y'all want to talk to me today. Y'all won't have church with me today. But that's okay. Pay attention to this here. It's all right. Let me get ahead of her. I won't get too far ahead of myself. I want to just walk with you. Can I just walk this thing down here? Oh, Jesus, help me, Holy Ghost here. My. So we look at this, right? He says in verse 3, he said, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passions by what? Many infallible proof. Let me tell you something. God has brought you from a mighty long way. There's things that you have done in your life, and you know that you could not get it out with your intellect. You know that nobody can help you. You know that you were stuck like Chuck, and you know the only way you was going to get out is God. That was infallible proof that he lives inside of you. He lives right here on earth. You have the testimony. Every day that you wake up, God is waking you up. You're not waking up on your own accord. Man cannot tell you how to eye work. Man can't even tell you about the different things on the heart. They can only tell you so much in the brain. Because, right, one of the most fascinating things is that God has designed purposely the body to hear his voice.
Oh, good God of mine.
This is how you come out of darkness. You don't come out of darkness because you want to. Because if it was really up to you, you'll continue to do whatever you want to. But since God called you out of darkness, the voice you hear, you comes out. You know the difference between the demon voice and God's voice. You done heard it before. He done saved you before. So being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and I talk about the kingdom of God, here Jesus is again. He's talking about the things what pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, command them that they shall not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. In other words, he ordained them. He got them right. He has now showed them the power of the anointing. Oh, good God Almighty. He has showed them the things. He has talked about the kingdom of God. He has walked with them. He has witnessed with them. They have seen the infallible proof of the Spirit of the Lord that's upon him. They have seen it. They have become witness to what he has done according to his Father here on earth throughout his ministry. There was a living proof of the things that happened. The reason why a lot of ministry are suffering today is there's no proof that Jesus lived in the ministry. The reason why a lot of people have problems. Because they don't know how to decrease and let God be the potter that he is, and they be the clay and let him mold him into the image that he want to be. They don't wait on the Lord. Jesus said, I will leave. I'm going. But I will send you a comforter so we will not be what? Comfortless. Oh, good God of mine. So he tells them, right, to all assemble together, to be in one accord on one place. The problem is we don't want to get on one accord. We want to preach all this scientific doctrine. We want to preach all this stuff. But preach the word. The word is what convicts people. Not all these doctrines and stuff and all this here. Not all your theory. Not all of this stuff that you got going on in your intellectual mind. Not your psychology. Not your ideology. Preach the word. Teach the word. So he told them. He had gotten them in a point. They all got in a point. They all know. He had talked to them. Now one thing's left is to endure them with what? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. They need the anointing to fall down on them. Once the anointing fall down on them, watch this. They were totally different than the apostles. Once they received the Holy Ghost. See, I have an issue, and this is me. This don't include nobody else. I have an issue when I can see men and women of God can just teach and preach without no affection of the anointing. They don't get excited. They don't do nothing. They can just lay it out to you and fine. They can control the Spirit of God. I ain't never know a man living in the world. I never read that in the book where no one never got excited about doing the work of God, not being able to teach and preach. Because the word, good God of mine, when you receive the Holy Ghost, right, when he send you the anointing, when the Holy Ghost come upon you, it comes upon you, and it comes upon you with fire. Good God of mine. So fire, if fire touches you, you're going to burn. You're going to move. You're going to ouch. You're going to say something. You're going to get excited. You can't stay in one place. He talks about this. He told them, but wait for the promise of the Father, which see he you have heard of me. In other words, I explained to you, I told you that I would send you, that the Father would send you a comforter, so you would not be comfortless. He said, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with what? The Holy Ghost, not many days here. In other words, he's saying, you've been baptized by water. Good God Almighty. Oh, good God Almighty. Let me just have, oh, hallelujah, up in here. You've been baptized with water. But now it's time for you to receive the Holy Ghost. You need to be slain in the Spirit. You need to be able to receive the power of the Lord. Oh, Jesus. Y'all don't like me here today. See, a lot of times we feel like the baptism of water is all we need. But that's a proof of being baptized in water. That's a change that come upon you after you've been baptized in water. Now you need to receive the Holy Ghost. You receive the Holy Ghost so you'll be anointed. That's why people don't believe today. They're laying on their hands. They don't believe you can do nothing. You can't heal them. That's why so many people have issues with this. And I understand that. Because the pastor, the man or woman of God, has not accepted the Holy Ghost. If you preach against something, you think you're going to receive it? I don't think so. If you don't preach against change, then you think you're going to change? No, it won't happen. You'll stay the same. That nobody gets saved. Nobody gets delivered. You got a church for the folks. They're doing whatever they want to. When every time something come up, you can't do nothing about it. You won't speak about it. You won't talk about it. You won't come from behind the veil yourself. You will not do it. You continue to do whatever you want to do. Because it's all right. You in it for the check. And I know y'all may be mad at me for saying it, but you in it for the check. Verse 3 in the book of Acts, right? Let's review this here. Let's go down here a little bit. Tells us something very clear, which is great and important. Jesus set aside once and for all the doubts of his disciples concerning what? The facts of his resurrection. In the Gospel of Luke, the disciples are doubtful as to our Lord's resurrection to the very end. You got to read that thing. And you have men and women of God today. You have children of God are doubtful of a lot of things that has happened with Jesus. And this is, we're dealing with a time where everybody's trying to discredit Jesus, the ministry of Jesus. But my Bible tells me in Psalms 11, what would the righteous do if the foundation fall? See, this is the time that the righteous supposed to get together on one accord and preach and teach nothing but holiness and righteousness. It is not a lifestyle. It is God's character and his life. Holy and righteous. You look in the book from the beginning to the end and speak of holiness and righteousness. Be be holy. Come from among those who are not holy, because I'm holy. Stop trying to go to God in your natural self and learn how to decrease and get in the spiritual realm so you can get what God has for you. The book of Mark, the gospel as it was told, tells us more clearly that the disciples' unbelief was deep-seated and that Jesus found it necessary to rebuke them for it. When you look at Mark, the 16th chapter and verse 14, we'll tell you. But when we get to the book of Acts here, Luke tells us the reason the disciples could be so entirely convincing about the resurrection. It was not just that Jesus rebuked them for their what, unbelief, but that his presence himself lied to them on various occasions over a period of 40 days. This evidence was infallible for them. They were convinced then. Never again does they have the issue of the fact that his resurrection arrived with them. But we have a problem.
So?
We have a problem with this. And since we have a problem, we deal with the things of Jesus. But one of the things about it is that we find ourselves more and more each day facing the reality that Jesus does live. And we come in confliction with some of the men and women of God's teaching. Once we show our self-approval, once we develop the intimate relationship with God, the light comes on. And once the light comes on, it allows us to see things in a whole different light. This is what happened with the apostle. Once Jesus starts showing up even more, 40 days after the resurrection, the light came on with them. So in this disagreement that they had, any doubts that they had in their mind about the resurrection, it was gone now. So in other words, their job now is to go out to the highways and byways to compel men and women back to the body of Christ. And to tell them about this, about the relationship that they had developed with Jesus while he was on earth. Watch this now. But they cannot do the things that, because Jesus also told them that was, I want y'all to hear this. I hear you, Holy Ghost. Jesus, I hear you, Lord. Jesus told them that there would be greater works among them. In other words, in order for the greater works to happen, first of all, they need to have to get the doubt out of their mind. I know y'all feel that now. I know you see where I'm going with this. They had to erase the doubt. The next thing they had to do was what? They had to receive the Holy Ghost. They had to receive the Spirit of the Lord. They had to receive the Holy Spirit. Once they received the Holy Spirit, now they're able to go out to the highways and byways and to put men and women back to the body of Christ. The reason why you have preachers and you have people, children of God, going out to the highways and byways trying to compare men and women back to the Christ. And the reason why the people don't come with them is because they see the same person that they are in them. That's no different. That's no anointing on them. They have not received the Holy Ghost. How in the world are you going to go out and preach and teach somebody and not upon an anointing? There's no change. There's no conviction. See, the anointing, what you need to have, breaks all the yokes. It breaks the stronghold. You remind me of the book of Acts, also in the same book, with the Ephesian elder. Paul and them comes over to the Ephesian elder and asks them how they received the Holy Ghost. The first thing they said, like most of us say, we heard of it. Oh, good God Almighty. Oh, y'all ain't going to like me here. We heard of it, but we haven't received it. But the elders, without power. Oh, good God. That's what I'm talking about. There's a lot of preachers, men and women and children of God, there's a lot of them with no power. But they're preachers and they're children of God. But they have not received the Holy Ghost. Good God of mine. You may not like what I'm saying, but I'm not going from the book. The book says it clearly that Jesus told them, he told them to wait for the promise of the Father. Elder Tony did not make this up. Jesus told them to go and wait for the promise of the Father. I tell you today, I know God have called you out of darkness. I know God probably have given you an assignment, but wait for the promise of God. Don't get ahead of God. Don't get beside yourself. Don't think you're so anointed. Don't think you all of this in a bag of chips. Wait on God. The problem is we don't want to wait. We feel that, oh, God called me to this auxiliary. God called me to this ministry. I know he called me. I can hear God's voice. I know I hear God's voice. You may hear God's voice, but he told you to wait till you receive the Holy Ghost. If you don't have no anointing, there's no anointing on you, then you need to wait till the Holy Ghost come upon you. There's some stuff you got to receive. God got to equip you with dunamis, with the power. You need the anointing. You need the anointing. You cannot do nothing in ministry without the anointing. I'm sorry to tell you all. Surely they flock into your church. Surely because you're giving them microwave service. You're allowing them to stay as they are. Sure, you come in the house of the Lord one way, but you sure don't go out the same way you came in. You sure don't come. You come in. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. You come in one way, but you don't go back out the same way. How many times that you have seen people just come in and go back out the same way? The reason why is there's no anointing in that place. Because the anointing there breaks the yoke. You come in as a babe, but you sure don't go back out as a babe. Oh, good God of mine. You're learning something there. It's up to you to receive what God has for you. There has to be a change to come upon your life. So Jesus said, make sure that they have no more problem. So they was a witness of his resurrection. You should be a witness of Jesus' resurrection today. You should have no problem with Jesus. Jesus has brought you a mighty long way. You should not be wrestling with what God has for you. You should be able to see the things of God. You cannot serve God and mammon too. I'm sorry. You cannot worship God with two. And you got to believe the Bible wholehearted. I'm tired of people just taking pops out of the Bible and trying to preach people off pops. The Bible is whole. It does not come in a piece. It does not come in a half. It comes whole. You got to either accept God wholeheartedly or you don't accept him at all. I'm sorry. So Jesus said, verse 3. I'm coming close. Verse 3. Let me come in and finish and take up a little more of your time. I'm almost through. He said, verse 3, also inform us the content of the teaching of our Lord during the 40 days. Watch, hear this now. Verse 3, look at this here, right? It deals with the contents of the teaching of our Lord during his 40 days after the resurrection. It is summed up by Luke by used in the phrase, the kingdom of God. See, Jesus deal with them now with kingdom building, kingdom growth, the things of the kingdom. See, in other words, for God to take you somewhere, first of all, he calls you out of darkness. Then he endures you with power. He endures you with Holy Ghost power. Once you there receive and you wait patiently on the Lord to do what's next for you, then he equip you with the power to do it. Then you understand kingdom building, kingdom purpose, the things of the kingdom. See, the things of the kingdom, Jesus has commenced with his ministry by announcing what? The kingdom of God, as he did in what? Mark what? 1:5. But I told you before that the same with John the Baptist. As he been preaching in Matthew what? 3:1-2. He was talking about the kingdom. He said, in the earthly ministry, Jesus spoke of what? The kingdom of God, and found it necessary to continue to correct what? The misconceptions of the Israelites, the Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes. I'm dealing with the people today. All you different in these different set religions, I'm dealing with the misconceptions that you have given Jesus during his ministry, his earthly ministry. You have gotten them wrong. Go back and look. Don't look at them with your theory, your ideology, your psychology, your doctrine. Look at them biblically, because the only way you're going to understand anything about the body of Christ, the fundamental principles of the kingdom of God, you got to understand them biblically. You cannot understand them with doctrine and psychology, ideology, theology. You've You cannot. You have to first get out yourself and let God teach you. You have to be willing and able to learn from the Spirit of the Lord. And the only way you're going to be able to learn from the Spirit of the Lord, you need to receive the Holy Ghost. See, that's revelation with all the words. I don't care how many times that you have read the Bible. I've read the Bible, oh my goodness, back and forth, over and over again. But every time I read it, and every time I go to a text, God enlightened me with something else. If you look at the notes and things that I have preached and teach from off different lessons, and then some of the same scriptures, right, they all have some, they have different meanings, but they are equipped with what? The power of the Lord. I don't get around trying to teach it myself. Does the people no good? The people need to feel the anointing of God. They don't need to feel your mess. They don't need you to inspire them. They don't need you to put them in a microwave server. They need to feel the power of God. They got some issues going on, men and women. They got some issues. Oh, good God Almighty. So, Jesus spent time, right, dealing with correction and misconception of the Israelites. And even his own disciples. See, you got to understand, everybody that follow you in ministry is not following you and believing what you're doing. They got their own theory and their own doctrine where they're going. They're not on the same accord with you. So they got a misconception of things with you. So in other words, you got a conflict in your ministry. And you don't even know it. There's a conflict in your ministry. Let me just go back. I feel you, Holy Ghost. Let me just go back and show you how conflict starts. When Jacob was born, him and his brother, right? That was a conflict. Oh, good God, man. In other words, God told the woman of God, there are two nations born in you. And they're in conflict with each other. In other words, I'm telling you, there's some things that happen in your life. There's some things in your body that you had conflict with. The truth and a lie. You're in conflict with that. You believe a lie more than you believe the truth. So they constantly in conflict. Oh, that's a whole nother lesson. You've got to get that CD. I'm not going to give you that. You got to get that CD. But I've got to tell you something. Jesus spent time erasing the misconceptions of them and then strengthening the faith of his apostles. A lot of us right now need our faith strength. He was telling them the kingdom of God is not just a matter of what in the future, but it's right now. I talk about this thing time and time. The kingdom of God has suffered violence. And by violence, take it back by force. Oh, good God Almighty. Oh, Jesus. Help me, Holy Ghost, here. So the promises of the kingdom of God has not been fulfilled in 2,000 years since the days of our Lord. Did y'all hear me here? The promises of the kingdom of God has not been fulfilled in 2,000 years since the days of our Lord. The reason why? It's because we have greater works to do. Good God Almighty. We have greater works to do. That's some things that we have to do that is a part of the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. What am I talking to here? There are some things that us men and women, the children of God, has to do that is part of the what? The fulfillment of the kingdom of God. We ain't did our part. We can't do our part because we're too busy fussing and fighting. Everybody got some. We're too busy trying to build mega churches, not mega souls. That's greater works. When the last time you seen somebody go to the pastor go lay hands on the sick and the body be made whole, casting out demons, casting out leprosy, casting out cancer,